Okay. Shalom Aleichem. It's very nice to see everyone here. Wow. This is great.
Hey, I know you.
Oh, I know you too. Quite a bit of people here, Baruch Hashem. Wow. It's very nice to be here, Baruch Hashem. I was telling the two fine young men who picked me up, Shmuel Palgan and Bezalel Trapper. I was telling them how Miami has a soft spot. I was a little bit older than you, not that much, a little bit older than you, on 41st Street. I came from Queens as a, what do they call it, called branchers now. As a brancher. We didn't call them branchers in those days. I don't know what we called them. Some people thought we were crazy. But anyways, but there was nobody here. Saying it was no Beis Medrash. It was, this was before there was this. On 41st, and I don't know if anybody ever even saw it, ever went to see it, passed by 41st. It was a storefront. There was a room in the front. There were a few offices. There was, I guess we called the Beis Medrash. And then there was the dining room with the palmettos. Remember flying palmettos? And it was a high school. I don't even think it was a full high school. It was maybe a few grades. And we came as a Beis Medrash Bacher. So I have very fond memories of it because, first of all, there were wonderful, wonderful people here, Baruch Hashem. And it was really kind of my formative years. I said my first chabura down here. So while I was here, that's what I did. I said my first chabura. So Miami always had a so when I land here, like, I feel like I'm coming back home. But it's unbelievable. So you can't imagine what you guys, you know, see. It's like you can't imagine what it is. You don't realize what it is. You can't look back because you weren't there, so you didn't see it. But seeing what you're seeing, it's like, who could have imagined those years? Imagine such a thing. Miami Beach. I think in those days they were saying that they were quoting somebody, an Adam Gadol, who said, Miami's not a Makom Tov. So it's true, because when the person said it, there were still scorpions in Miami. There's nothing. There was just hotels, right? But those first years, Miami began to develop. But nobody believed there was going to be anything like this. I was just telling you, North Miami Beach there were two shuls, I think. Young Israel was the biggest place. I hear now it's the opposite. Right? Can't be Masi, right? And it was, why did North Miami Beach grow? It's because of the yeshiva, there's no question. But it's such a nace, there should be a Beis Medrash. Like here, you guys don't realize. You don't realize how chashuv it is. You know, it's just coming from, it's a nace, it's almost a miracle. You say, what's the big deal? You know, we're just coming and sitting and learning. You don't realize what it is. It's taka, it's a very important thing. Seems like it's a small thing, right? What's that? The Beis Medrash here is the Beis Medrash there. Changes the whole community. But you know, when you come from, you see it from a different perspective, it looks very different. So it's beautiful. I'm just a spoil, you know. You know, I think it's important. We're both saying, you know, what am I talking for? So I missed some of this. Somebody wants to talk about something. Somebody has some good talking. I'm talking too much. Maybe somebody has some good topics. Purim. Huh? Purim. We should talk about Purim. Purim, we should talk about Purim, but we should talk about the real, you know. Problem is, we really need to have Purim the whole year round. I didn't mean that. but a different sort of Purim, we're both saying. We have to have a Purim the whole year round. Simcha. Purim is about Simcha. So, and that's something that's very difficult. That were challenged very much to be able to be sameach. It's not an easy thing. Why? Why should it be that way? Why should we be able to be happy? We really think about it. I mean, can we look? You have everything we want. You know, you compare our situation to Chais. Let's go. I don't know how many people here are their parents or grandparents or great grandparents, probably. I assume. You know, Chais. Maybe we're in Europe, or maybe it's Chais, Eastern Europe, or maybe somewhere else. You know, where they might have been in poverty. Chais. You know, so here, Baruch Hashem, today. You know, even the poorest person has more, than we might have had years ago. So we should be such simcha. We should be in a state of euphoria. We have everything we want. Imagine we have every single convenience that you can imagine. Isn't it unbelievable? Every single convenience. You know, you have a vacuum cleaner. You said it goes on its own now, right? Every single thing. You could check the temperature in your rooms, in your house, right? Thousands of miles away. Just use your phone. If you check the temperature, you know, you want to adjust it so that exactly you can have in the shore exactly when you come home, it'll be exactly the right temperature. You have everything that we want. So, but Lamaisa, I don't know, is the world happier? I don't know, I'm not so sure. I don't think so. I don't know. I suspect not. Why? What's the trouble? Why are we so happy? So why aren't we happy? That's the question. So, anybody have an answer?
Stop this.
What?
People aren't Sameach B'Chalko. Are we stopping to look ahead?
That may be true. In other words, that may be true. In other words, or maybe the opposite is that there's so many things that a person wants. So, well, you run after this, you run after that. So, you're not happy because you don't get it. But I suspect it's even deeper than that. What Rabbi said, what is this real source of simcha? What brings real simcha to an individual? How do we become content and happy? So you know, if a person. You know, I think one of the biggest problems today is we don't understand that the society has lost sight of something very, very important. That Klal Yisrael has brought to the world, and we ourselves have lost sight of it. So, there is someone no less than Hitler himself understood the essence of Klal Yisrael. Hitler, can you imagine? You know, if you look and you'll see, you know, we don't appreciate ourselves, we both say. We don't appreciate ourselves. We really don't. We don't appreciate ourselves as Klal Yisrael, who we are. The mice, the goyim, appreciate us much more than we do. Horaya. Why is it whenever a Jew is caught, you know, embezzling money or this and that, right? Ooh, there's just, especially a from Jew, ooh, they're, you know, it's a big deal, right? It's a bigger deal than anybody else. Torah says because they appreciate what a Jew is, and they understand. It's like such a stira, right? They understand that. Hitler himself said, everybody thinks, you know, Hitler was a meshuggah, he was a chreis, he was a racist. Hitler has told us why he went after us. He said, and it's a pretty much a quote. He said that the war of the world is being waged against between two forces. That is us and the Jews. Why? Because the Jews, he said, have brought two false ideals to the world. One is conscience, and one is circumcision. What is he referring to? Conscience means is the Yetzer Tov. There's a conscience. I mean, you can't just do what you want. There's a conscience. There's something in you that says, how could you do this? How could you do this? How could you do that? This is the right thing to do. That's the Yetzer Tov. And the second thing is circumcision. What's circumcision? Circumcision is bris, is self-control. A person doesn't do what they want. There's a self-control to remove the orlas alev. That's why we have a bris, so that we should be able to control ourselves. So we were endowed with that, and that's what we brought to the world. Those two false ideals. And Mamela, he wanted to eradicate, he said, the Jews from the world because they want to do what they want. He wants to do what he wants. He wants to be able to do what he wants. There's no arla salay. There's arla. Who cares? Do what you want. And if there's and if there's no yetzer tov, so we don't realize we're both saying this is, I think, one of our biggest problems is why we're not happy. It's because we forget there's a yetzer tov. We don't really understand that. We don't appreciate that. What do I mean? We don't understand the yetzer tov. We really don't understand the yetzer hara. We don't visualize. I mean, let me ask you: on any given day, does anybody think, if at a spur of a moment, I'm not talking about that a person has an nisayon, I'm not talking about that, but generally on any given day, would somebody think, ask you, are we being attacked? So I ask you, are we being attacked? I don't know. Maybe ISIS. Maybe they're trying to plan against us, ISIS. That's what you might think. But would anybody say, yeah, I'm under attack? I have no concept and no clue. I have no idea what's happening. Someone is infiltrating. Just like imagine someone was infiltrating the government. You wouldn't even know about it. I'm under attack. What's the attack? There's something called the Yetzer Hara, who's plotting and planning. Kolos Havavos says that every step that we take, the Yetzer Hara has already planned how that step should be somehow connected to Ratzon Hashem. That's frightening, Rabbi Osai. That's a frightening thought. Can you imagine that there's a force within us that right now, and we think is dormant, and it's not dormant. It's extremely active. And it's plotting and planning. It's a force, Rabbi Osai. It's really a force. You know, it's like, you know, they make fun. It's like the little guy with a pitchfork, right? The little guy on the shoulders holding a pitchfork. There's such a thing, right? Rabbi Stroll says, we know that there's an inner Yetzer Hara, there's the natural drives and passions of an individual, and then there's a Malach Ra, a certain, right, that afflicts us. And if you look at the Cholos Halvavos, Cholos Halvavos describes, Rabbi Osai, he describes how devious the Yetzer Hara is, how sneaky he is. Now that should get us very, very worried and nervous, but it should also give us tremendous courage. Because think for a minute, Rabbi Osai. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with such a force that is so powerful to turn against Him, what does that mean about the power that we have to fight it? In other words, if we were like, hey, it's a little better than animals. You know, a little better than animals, step above animals, so we'll have a little more control. We can, so you wouldn't need such a major, powerful force called the Yetzer Hara, so devious, so sneaky. He tries to convince you. He'll go ahead and, you know, he'll play your mood. If you're in a good mood, he'll speak the language to get you to do something wrong. If you're in a bad mood, he'll also speak the language. He'll figure out a way to get you more depressed. You know why? So if you get more depressed, then you won't serve Hashem. You'll be distracted. You won't do what you're supposed to do. Such a power that each and every one of us has within us. What does that mean? That means, Rabbi Osai, that means that we have such a force to combat it. That's called the Yetzer Tov. That's the Neshama. It's the Seichel. The Seichel. And by the way, the Seichel is really who we are. That's who really who you are. Because after everything's said and done, what happens when we leave this world? What's left? The Seichel. Is this me? You know, it's my body. I think my body's me. Well, my body's just a residence, Rabbi Osai. I have to take care of it. You know, it's my residence. That's where I live. It's like my house. But after I'm said and done, I leave it here. I don't take my body with me, right? That's not who I am. I'm the neshama. That's who I am. I'm the seichel. The seichel that's who I am, that's my identity, we're both saying, has such power, such force. If we would hear that, if we would understand that, we would be much happier. We don't understand the power that we have. We don't understand the koach that we have. You know, Reb Simcha Zissel, I once heard from my Rebbe Zichron Vracha that the Gemara says that Eov had a taina, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Latara Tavlin. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, look how hard you made it. You created Yetzahara. Barasi Yetzahara. He said to him, Barasi Yetzahara, you created a Yetzahara. It's so terrible. It's so difficult. He doesn't let us go. He hits us in so many different ways. He lays an ambush. And we fail. It's not fair. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Barasi Yetzahara. It's true, I did create a Yetzahara. But I created the Torah. The Torah is a tavlin. The Torah protects us. So Reb Simcha Zissel says, he gives a mashal. He says, just imagine if you have an individual, we're going to go to a hospital, and we're going to go on one of the floors, and we're going to stand and watch what's going on. And we notice that from one of the rooms, there's a tremendous hustle and bustle of doctors, nurses coming in and out. And suddenly you see very hush of doctors, from world-famous doctors, running out of the elevator, running into the room. But you don't know what's going on in there. You're just standing in the hall. So you can make two deductions. You can deduce two things from seeing that. Number one is what? What can you deduce from seeing that?
Definitely, yeah.
That this person must be really, really sick. Boy, is he sick, because they're calling, the hustle and bustle, and they're calling the Moshkashu doctors. What's the second thing we're about to say? What's the second thing? He must be a VIP. He must be very chashu. He must be a very important person. Because otherwise, why would they get the world-famous doctors? Don't come for anybody, right? So as simple as this will says like this. Take a look. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a medication for us, for the Yetzirah. What is that medication? The medication is Torah. Torah is the medication for the Yetzirah. Take a look at the medication for a minute. What do you see? You see something that is mind-boggling. Torah is so vast, is so deep. The greatest minds have never, ever been able to reach its depth. It's infinite, Torah. Chachma v'Kadosh Baruch Hu, the same Torah that you learn every day. It's so powerful, it's so great. Now, if you see that was the medication that was given to us, so you can deduce two things. Boy, we must be really sick. If we need it, if we don't have it, oh boy, are we in trouble. Because otherwise, why would you need such a medication? You could give a guy a weaker antibiotic. You give him, when I was in Forest Hills, so we used to go to the yeshiva doctor. So he used to give us pink pills. We used to call it pink pills, erythromycin. That's what you had. Anytime you had it. You sneezed, pink pills. Anything you had. Your toe hurt you, he gave you pink pills. Everything was pink pills. That's what you had. It's a little nothing. But if you have a serious, serious problem, a serious bacteria, you need a very powerful, powerful antibiotic. So the Torah, if you see, that's the Torah, the same Torah. Look at it. Look at all those svarim, right? Who was that? Who was that for? That's a medication for us. So what does that mean? That means, boy, we need it. It's without it, we're in big trouble. We really, really need it. We can't do it without it. But you know what else it means? It means that if the Torah as given as a medication for us, that means we must be VIPs. That means we must be so chashuv. Such a medication was given. You don't give a medication like that, something that only a yochid will get. You know, something that nobody, you know, some medicine that works and they only have one of it. They're not going to give it to anybody. So Hashem created the Torah. He gave it to us. That's what it means, we will say. So if we would understand that, if we would understand how chashuv we are and the power that we have, A, the Torah helps us. And the Yetzer Tov is a tremendous power. Chovos HaLevavos says it in Shayichat HaMaisa. He says that the mashal to the Yetzer Hara, Shlomo HaMelech compares the Yetzer Hara to a great king that surrounded a city in Koheles. There was a great king that surrounded a city, and the city was really, they didn't have any defenses. They didn't know what to do. He'd lay siege around the city. But there was one little guy in the city, a chacham, who nobody even knew too much about, but he came up with a plan, and he was able to save the city. And they were victorious. And then it says, Shlomo HaMelech says, V'adam lo zocher es ha'ish ha'miskein ahu. Nobody remembered this guy, this miskein. Miskein is like a nebuchal, meaning he wasn't a chashuva person, he was a chacham. You know, they were interested. Oh, he's chacham, very nice. But nobody remembered him. What does that mean, nobody remembered him? After the victory, and after 5-10 years passed, another king came. And what happened? They were afraid again. They didn't know what they were going to do. They forgot about him. So the Chozov Ovis says, the Paslechem, if you look at the Mepharshim there, he says, if a person would remember that he has a Yetzer Tov, the Chacham is the Yetzer Tov, the Melech is the Yetzer Hara, if a person would remember that he has a Yetzer Tov who could save him, if we would remember that, then we would be able to fight him. If we not only remember it, if we were machshav it, if we realized, so Terry says, so what happens? What happens is many times we are successful in a challenge and we're victorious. But we forget about it. Why do we forget about it? Because that's the nature of a human being. He forgets. Imagine if you could take a situation where you had a challenge and you overcame it. And you take that feeling that you had, and you were so happy, and you put it in a little capsule. And then, when the Yetzer Hara comes again, you say, I have a power here, I can stand up to you. Because the Yetzer Hara tells you, you can't stand up to him. That's what he tells you. He will convince you. He's talking to your boss. It's very important. Understand, the Yetzer Hara talks to you in your head. And he says to you, you can't stand up to me. Of course, the way we view it is, I feel like... That's like God comes into me and says, this is the way I feel. I feel like I can't do it. What's that I feel? We don't realize, of course he feels. You know why? Because the Yetzer Hara told him he can't do it. What happens when the Yetzer Hara tells you you can't do it? There's an emotional response. That's the way it works, we will say. How does it work? I'll tell you very simple. I'll tell you. I got stuck in Las Vegas during Hurricane Sandy. I went for a bar mitzvah. So, I decided that I was there with my wife and my bar mitzvah. We couldn't go back. So they said, we're going to the Grand Canyon. I'm stuck for 2 days. All my kids were back in New Jersey. So I didn't know what was going on over there. So I'm going to sit and worry. I figured, listen, let's go to the Grand Canyon. When will I ever be able to go to the Grand Canyon? I figured, all right, that's an opportunity. I'll go to the Grand Canyon. So we drove to the Grand Canyon. Beautiful. If you've never been to the Grand Canyon, you have to go. It's it's yimamish daher that you're like an ant. You realize that Hashem's koach if you see the Grand Canyon. Anyways, yirshiya. All right, got to the Grand Canyon, beautiful. Machaya. I stayed overnight. The next morning, the next day, we decided my wife wants to go on a trail. I said, okay, I guess I would have been preferred to really stay at the rim. But all right, we'll go down the trail. So we're approaching a certain trail, and at the beginning of the trail, there are ponies there. So I said, let's ride a pony down. I said, no, sorry, we're not riding ponies. I'm not riding a pony down this trail. Okay. So we started on the trail. I see my wife's, holding on to the wall. And I said, I know. I was a little nervous, but it was okay. So I said, anything wrong? She's the one who wanted to go on the trail. So, all right, the kids said, we're going. Fine. After a few minutes, it was fine. We were walking. It was very nice. We ate lunch. It was beautiful, wonderful. There's a certain point, Rabosai, about 100 feet from the first point that you get to in this trail. It's called Ooh-Ah Point. Like Ooh-Ah, Ooh-Ah. You know? That's what it's called. So it's about maybe 100 feet. Now, let me describe to you what this trail is like. The trail is about double the size of a sidewalk. Okay? Double the size of a sidewalk. And there's a wall. When you're going down, there's a wall. So double the size of the sidewalk. Then there's a certain point, Robosa, where the trail gets maybe a little narrow, not that much narrower. Definitely, I think, wider than a sidewalk. But the wall falls away. In other words, so instead of the wall being right here where it's like secure right near you, the wall is like over there, like where that wall is. And then there's rocks, right? And at that part also, you're much more into the middle of the canyon. I got to this point, and Rabosai, I have never been so frightened in my life. I don't know what got into me. I froze. I was paralyzed with fear. I could, to this day, I remember what it felt like. It felt like I was walking a tightrope in the middle of the Grand Canyon. That's what it felt like. Now, if you go to the Grand Canyon, you'll see what I mean, a tightrope in the middle. You don't even realize. If you haven't been to the Grand Canyon, you don't know what it means, a tightrope in the middle of the Grand Canyon. It's worse than you can even imagine. And I was frozen. I couldn't move. I mamish couldn't move. That was impossible. I couldn't move. I was physically, the limitation was such where I literally sat down. I sat down on the trail. I couldn't move. I didn't know what to do. My wife is a number of feet ahead of me. She's pretty much towards the... She says, "What's wrong?" I said, "I can't move." She didn't understand what's going on. Before, she was nervous in the beginning. Imagine if I would have gone down on a pony. So what did I do? So I'm turning back. I turn around, Rabosai, and to add insult to injury, there's a guy behind me and his wife coming down right behind me, and the guy's holding a stroller. Oh my gosh, I'm thinking, so humiliating. I can't even go, and the guy's walking with a stroller, right? So there really wasn't a lot of room, especially since I would have to kind of go around him and like closer to the edge, and that wasn't happening. So I had no choice. I only had one place to go, Rabosai, and that was forward. How do I do that? So I said, I have to go. And I got up, and I said, I'm going. And I got there. It took me almost 20 minutes to recover, Rabosai. I have never experienced this in my life. What happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. And if you realize that this happens to us constantly, it's just maybe not that severe, Baruch Hashem. But this happens constantly. What happened? What happened is there's something, Rabosai, called the Koach HaDimyon, the imagination, which the Rabbi Yisroel defines as the Yetzirah. That's what he is, the imagination. And what did the imagination do? I pictured in my mind, I'm going to die. I'm going to fall off. And therefore, I was afraid. So you'll say, well, it's taka founded fear, well-founded fear. No, it isn't. We'll say, did you ever fall off a sidewalk? Did anybody ever fall off a sidewalk? You could be pushed off a sidewalk, but my wife wasn't going to push me off. So what's going on? Teretz is, the imagination plays tricks with you. It's sheker. It's all sheker. But the imagination says something that's based on some kernel of truth. The kernel of truth is that if you fall from the Grand Canyon, you will die. That is the kernel of truth. That's all that's true. Nothing else is true. It's the furthest from the truth. Well, I'm not going to die. But the image of that, and I didn't even realize how quickly, we don't even realize how quickly it happens in your brain. And when that happens, Rabosai, there's an emotional response. The emotional response is fear. Because the image is so powerful. And especially if you allow the image to take root, it can get even more powerful. That, Rabosai, is an example of what we're talking about. We're talking about the Yetzirah. So the Yetzirah, the person says, I don't feel I could do it. It's too late already. He doesn't realize what happened. The guy doesn't realize. What the Yetzirah did, with the Koach HaDimyon, the imagination, you pictured in your mind failing. You pictured in your mind you can't do it. It's too hard. So Mimele, you can't do it. One of the hardest things to do, Rabosai, a guy's in bed. He's ready. He's so tired. He's going to sleep. He's already in bed. Ooh. I forgot to dump Meyer. Oh, there's nothing harder than that. Oh my gosh, could you imagine? I can't move. Guy can't move. But that's what it is, isn't it? Is it really that hard? It makes no sense. It's not hard. Nothing hard about it at all. Horaya, believe me, if you had important folk, he'd jump right out of bed, right? Teretz is, but the Yetzirah puts this image in mind. Oh, it's so excruciatingly difficult. Imagine just moving one limb. Oh, my gosh. So what do? So first of all, you have to recognize that that happens. That's what's happening. So there's no such thing, Rabosai. That's the way I feel. He got us already. If we fall into that trap, see, if we could just recognize that nakuda, that's a mistake. There's no such thing. That's the way. Of course, if once the Yetzirah puts it in my head and I listen to it, right? Sorry, so I'm a chazik yet. That's what I did. He listens to what I say. If I say yeah, sure. Okay, so then it gets worse. Right? Of course, but initially, if we could just dehare that, then we'd have him licked. Because everything the Yetzirah does, you see, he's not really powerful. We think he's powerful. He's not really powerful because what's the basis of what he does? It's all sheker. It's all sheker. There's no truth to it. Chosov says, you know, in Shar B'Tochen, he says the Yetzirah will go ahead and you'll see a person in the street corner panhandling. And he'll say, oh, that's going to be you. You'll have terrible financial problems when you won't have a parnasa. You'll be finished. You'll be like that panhandler. What does that have to do with me? I'm a panhandler. It's a panhandler on the corner. What does that have to do with me? Right? There are thousands and thousands of people that are walking by next to the panhandler. What Vosep is, I'm only seeing him. That's the Yetzirah does. He says, that's going to be you. He doesn't tell you maybe it's going to be you. That's also a lie. He says the word maybe. He says, maybe it'll be you. Maybe, you think of the Grand Canyon, he told me, maybe I'll die. He says the word maybe, but what he really, the image that he's putting is that you're going to die. He just plays games with you. He uses the word maybe. If we would recognize this, Rabbi, it's all sheker. And the power that we have to fight it is truth, is emes. That's what we have. We have a tremendous, tremendous koach.
Are you saying the strength that the Yitzhara has is that he's able to make you believe in the sheker?
He's able to put ideas in your mind and trick you into thinking, right, that that's what you want to do. That's what Chosov Ava says. Rots el ritzonecha. He runs to do your will. It's not your will. He runs, he makes it as if it's your will. And he says, I'm running to do what you want. That's what he tells. But he convinces you that it's your will. It's not. It's not what you want to do. It's not true. Rabosai, the predominant, who are we? That's why I said before, who are we? We're the Seichel. The Seichel doesn't want to do all the things that the Yetzirah wants us to do. Seichel doesn't want to do it. Teretz is, I don't know, but that's not true. I feel like I want to do it. Yeah, the reason why I feel like I want to do it is because I have Yetzirah. The Yetzirah tells me, this is good. If you didn't have a Yetzirah, by the way, see, what is the Yetzirah? The Yetzirah is Koach HaDimyon. But you know, if you didn't have a Yetzirah, you wouldn't eat. The person wouldn't get married. So you need a Yetzirah. So what is the Yetzirah? The Yetzirah is the imagination, the Koach HaDimyon. And that Koach HaDimyon, we're both saying, is programmed on autopilot. It's on autopilot to destroy you unless you take him by the scruff of his neck and you hold him and use him the way you want him to function for you.
Shouldn't the Seichel, you know, tell myself that I should eat? I'm saying, shouldn't, if I use my intellect, I should understand that eating is important, therefore I'll just eat even without Koach HaDimyon. I'm eating because I have to eat.
So it could be the pshat is because Lamaisa, there's a lot of other important things to do in life than eat, right? And Lamaisa, I mean, we know it's true of both sides. When you go into a pizza shop, right, and you smell the aroma, and you see the steam coming off the pizza, right? It does something to you. Well, what is that, right? It makes it more appetizing, right? That's what it is, right?
So
Teretz says, you're right. You probably wouldn't stomach to a certain degree. Maybe you'd eat, right? You'd eat something, right? But Lamaisa, after everything's said and done, right? Hashem gave that to us also as a positive force. The fact that things taste good and they're appetizing, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. If a person uses it in his avodas Hashem, right? Like Yitzchak. Yitzchak needed matamim in order to give the bracha. Why? Because the matamim, because the pleasure of the matamim, of eating this food, the pleasure he would have, he could direct it and use it so that he could give a bracha in a different way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all these things. It's a very positive thing, right? But if we don't, if the seichel doesn't reign supreme, if we don't take control, like the Aruch HaTzaddikim says, it's like riding a horse. Imagine if you got on a horse. Imagine if you saw a guy riding a horse. And the guy's sitting there, he's not holding the reins. And the horse goes here, and the horse goes there. The horse runs into the highway, right? And the guy's nuts. Says, grab the reins. He's just sitting there. And the horse just goes, he goes here, goes there. I'm shocked. The guy's nuts. So he says, that's what it is. He says, the human being is who? Is the seichel. The seichel. By the way, this is the seichel. It's here. It's the brain. That's what it is. That's the seichel. Right? That's where it is. It's here. It sits in here. Right? That seichel rides the horse. Who's the horse? The goof. The goof is the horse. The goof is the behema. The seichel rides the behema. But if the seichel's not leading and the behema's leading, so that's what you have. The behema leads. But the behema is very powerful, Rabbi Say. Because the behema comes from this earth. The seichel comes from somewhere, a foreign country. Seichel doesn't belong here. So in Mela, the seichel is not in its habitat. The behema, the goof, is in its habitat. So when you start out, so who do you think is going to be stronger? The goof is going to have a stronger force because, you know, it's like somebody comes to this country and he's from a different place. He doesn't know, he doesn't have the same abilities, right, as somebody who's here, been here for a long, long time, right, lived here for ages, right? So the goof comes from here. Mimela, that's why the goof has, in a certain sense, the upper hand. But the seichel has the ability. If we would understand this power that we have, and the koach of Torah, the power that Torah has, Torah changes you, Rabosai. You know, it wasn't that long ago that I was sitting in the same spot, well, not exactly the same spot, but in the same position that you, wasn't that long ago. You know, you can't imagine, you know. And I was thinking to myself, what's going to be with me? I don't know, what can I accomplish? What am I going to do? How do I, you know. That's what we think, because we don't understand. We don't appreciate it. And it's very hard to appreciate. It's not our fault. We don't appreciate it. Because we're used to, you know, that's how Chosovovich says it. We're used to, you know, we grow up, we were kids, we played with toys, and then we got a little bigger, we played with bigger toys, right? And then we begin to mature. But all the years, we didn't realize what was the power that we have within us. The Torah that you learn changes you. It'll change you. It gives you koach, gives you power, gives you the ability to fight the Yetzer Hara. But the Iker of Oseh is to deher and to understand. Talk about simcha. The greatest simcha that one could have if he appreciates who he is, to appreciate who I am, how choshev I am. It generates tremendous simcha in both sides. That's our biggest problem today. Our biggest problem is the self-esteem, is that we think that we're nobodies. That's the problem. And that's why we're drawn after everything in the world too, because we're not machshav ourselves. If we would be machshav ourselves, why was it that the altar focused on godless Adam? He focused on godless Adam because if a person is machshev who he is, you realize how great he is. He asks him, so how can I do this? How can I do this? Because the Yetzer Hara draws him to this and draws him to that, and it looks so beautiful and pleasing, right? And he says, it'll make you happy. He says, me? It's not possible for me to do such a thing. But how do you develop that hergesh? The more you learn Rabosa, you'll develop that hergesh. The more you learn Musser, you'll develop that hergesh. You have to bang it into your head. Because why? Because again, you didn't grow up with it. So you have to remind yourself. It's not that it's not there. You know, godless Adam doesn't mean it's something that you take from the outside and you kind of have to like teach yourself. No, it's there. Deep down, we're margesh. Deep down, we're sensitive to it. We are. Right? We are. Sometimes, you see, what do you think? Do you think people run around and, you know, the Drashas Aran says that Talmid HaChamim, the older they get, Daitan Mitarefas Alayim. And Amaratzim, I'm sorry, Talmid HaChamim, the older they get, Daitan Misyashevas Alayim. And Amaratzim, the older they get, Daitan Mitarefas Alayim. What does that mean? Talmid HaChamim, the older they get, they become more calm. They become, oh, you know, I just remember, you know, Which I have 2 minutes. The Rishiva, Zichron Racha, I think said this in Miami. I remember this. He said this in Miami. Years ago, when I was in Miami, the Rishiva came down. I remember this. So he said, he gave an example, that Amaratzim, the older they get, then they become more disturbed. Why? He says, Talmid HaChamim, he says like this, why do they become more disturbed? He says, Amaratzim. He says, because the pshat is like this. When they're young, they don't have anything, really. They're running around the world, running after the world. So they run after the world. What do they try to do? I try to get this, I try to do that, this car, and this house, and this cruise, and everything. Then comes a certain point, Rabosai, and they do everything their heart desires. But then there comes a certain age where you're over the hill. You can't do those things anymore. You don't have the same energy, you don't have the same kayak, right? So what happens? So now that the Yetzirah is not so strong, then the inner feeling of Tzelem Elokim to do something meaningful comes out, because the Yetzirah is not so strong anymore. So then it comes out. But you know what happens? They want something meaningful. They don't know what to do. So it's very disturbing. That's why, so Rishiva said, that's why, I don't know if you see it here, but if you go to Miami Beach, that's why you see the old people, they all fight with each other. Go into the supermarket. I remember we go into the supermarkets and they'd fight with each other. This lady hit somebody with her pocketbook, and the other lady hitting. That's crazy. Old people bickering and fighting, right? Pushing. You cut the line. We cut the line. Where are you going? Where are you going? Going to a rocking chair? Where are you going? Right? Cut the line. It's unbelievable, right? But they're so unhappy. They have nothing. They don't have meaning. They look for meaning. And it's very hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And it may not be their fault. They don't know what to do. But Talmid Chachamim, so the older they get, Dr. Mr. Shavu Salam. Why? Because when they're older, they could learn. They could do things that are meaningful. So we should realize, Rav said, that's the koach that we have. That's what gives tremendous simcha. That's what Purim's all about. That's what Purim's really all about. It's about recognizing, Rabosai, who we are, not just Tzelem Elokim, who we are as a people. Do we realize, Rabosai, who we are? We're not just a Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim, Rabosai, is an image, is a picture. Klal Yisrael is a twin. Rashi says it. Klal Yisrael is a twin. You know a twin? You know what a twin and a picture? Any twins here? Any Yeshiva? Take a look at the rabbi's palagon, right, when they were much younger, right? Couldn't tell them apart. That's a twin, Rabosai. A picture is a chashuv thing, a picture. If you don't mess around with a picture of the king, you know what happens if you dirty the picture of the king, that's it. But you know what a twin is? A twin. A twin means that there's something about us that really resembles a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the difference between us and the rest of the world. A twin. Just the hair that seer. If we would understand, that's what Purim's all about, the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We're his twin. That would keep us the whole year. All right, it's true. We fail at things. But Hashem knows that. And Hashem, you know what Hashem says about us? To the Goyim, he says, you're a bunch of sinners. And they say, we want the Torah. He says, you can't have the Torah. Why? You're chotim. But the Klal Yisrael also do averus. He says, nah, they do averus. But they're like children, little children who track mud into the house. They do averus, and there's consequences. But they're not sinners. It's a Medrash Rabbah. Forgot, Mashallah. Okay, everybody, I think it's time to go. All right. What did you say?